In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Luke's gospel is the only gospel that we hear the sentence, "The people stood by and watched Jesus on the cross." The people stood by and watched Jesus on the cross. And I don't know if it's just where I am in my own journey right now or what, but it was the first time that that sentence just really grabbed me as I read this reading for today a few weeks ago. They stood by watching. And I thought about how many times we stand by watching. And I thought about why people might have stood by watching and who those people might have been. And certainly some of them were just curious people that, you know, we know from of old days, people gathered for public executions, right? I mean, that just happened. So there were people that were just curious. It was something to do probably in the day. But there were people who knew who Jesus was. There were people for sure who had been following him. There were some of his disciples in that crowd. There were women that had cared for him throughout his journey. There were some of his closest friends. There was a whole mix of people. Yet they stood and watched. And I'm sure they were fearful, right? If I do something, I'm going to put myself in jeopardy. I could be next there. Or maybe not hung on a cross, but tortured or beaten or ridiculed or exiled or something. I'm going to be putting myself at risk. It would have been scary, frightening, all kinds of things. The same reasons that we probably choose to stand and watch in all kinds of situations. The reasons why perhaps sometimes in certain settings we might hear somebody tell a joke that we know shouldn't be told, we don't see anything. Or someone uses a word or a phrase that we know is hurtful to somebody else, we don't see anything. Or we see someone being really rough with their child somewhere in public, and we think it's none of our business, and we don't see anything. The other day I was shopping at Big Y. It wasn't a really hot day. It was it was in the upper 50s, and this car was parked next to me when I came out of the store, and it was when I still had that yucky boot thing on, and I was hobbling a little more than I am now, and I had just run in to get something, but it was a chore just to run in there and get something and get to the cash register and get back to my car, and I pull in, and this car is parked next to me, and it's got this big, beautiful, fluffy dog in it, and all the windows are closed. And it's parked in the shade, I get that. And the dog has its nose like at the crack of the car, you know, like trying, it looked like, to get some air maybe sucked in there. And all the windows are steamed up. And I sat there and I thought, oh my gosh, what do I do? That's horrible. It's gotta be warm in that car, right? How long has that dog been in there? And I didn't know what to do. And I'm in my car and I drive away. And I get up the street and say, I can't just drive away. And I turn around and I come back. And I pull in and the dog's laying down or it's not there. I'm like, oh my God, maybe the dog might pass out or something. So I beat my horn. And then both dogs pop up. There's two dogs in the car. And they're both in there and they're like wagging their tails. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, and it's even more steamed up. And I'm thinking, what do I do? Like, should I go inside? How long is it taking to park my car and hobble all the way into the store and get all the way to the place where the microphone is and tell them to do that? By the time they come, the person's probably going to be gone. So I make a note, and I said, please, even in these temperatures, you need to crack the windows of your car. And I wedge it into the car. But I felt guilty the entire day that I didn't do something. And I remembered last spring that some guy on the Rocky Hill website posted this thing saying, I'm just warning you, it is getting hot. And if I find your dog or your kid in your car with windows closed, I'm smashing the windows. Fair warning. And I said, good for you. That's one of God's creatures, right? That's a small thing. But standing by and watching and not taking action or doing anything. And sometimes it's not stuff right in front of us, but it's something that affects us. Did anybody see the Today Show with the story about the micro mines in Madagascar? So there's these mines in Madagascar that mine mica. And mica sheets are used in all kinds of things, cars, airplanes, technology, your cell phones, because it's an element that can withstand extreme heat. It doesn't get hot. But it's mined by children, 8, 9, and 10 years old, that climb down into these mines and spend hours down there in extreme heat. And they talked about this one particular family, this mother and her 7 children, the oldest being 12 years old, who worked down there. And after 2.5 months of work, got a paycheck of $120 after 2.5 months of work. And then they traveled to the place where they, what was it? It was called the processing center. And they talked to this woman who had 4 children. These were toddlers, 3 years old, 4 years old, who sit on the ground from 5 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the morning with tools like a socket wrench or anything they can get their little hands on and pound these pieces of mica to break them up and separate them. They work, 5 people, a mother and her 4 children, for a cup of rice. A cup of rice to feed 5 people for a day. Not a meal, a day. And $3 for a week. And we can think that's something that happens over there, but that's something we all benefit from. Stand and watch. We stand and watch when it's right in front of us and when it's something that we can choose to see with blinders. The good news is that we celebrate today Christ the King Sunday. And we have a King of second chances. Today we have a King who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He forgave those people who crucified him on the cross and those who stood by. The King of second chances. The King who a little while earlier told Peter that he would deny him 3 times, and sure enough, Peter did. And yet, in a little while, He's going to choose Peter to be the one that encourages, lifts up, holds together the other disciples. The centurion who was part of that crucifixion, standing there at the cross, who in a few moments will say, truly, this is God's Son. that opportunity to go from one who participated to one who proclaims. We have a king of second and third and fourth chances. That's the good news. We can all be forgiven and transformed into people who maybe have stood by and watched, but now have the courage to speak and act. Today, I invite you, as you come forward to communion, to choose one of these little hearts of stone to remind us that we have that kind of Savior that takes our hearts of stone and turns them into hearts of love and action. Amen.